Our pathway to permaculture was not planned. We were more like accidental tourists wandering into unknown territory, spurred on by nothing more auspicious than slugs. I'll get back to them in a minute, but first, I want to lead you back to the very beginning of the path. Fortunately, some of the groundwork, let's call it the brush cutting, had been done years earlier when, as a single parent, I built the house I now share with my husband, Callum. My budget was very tight, and getting the project off the ground required living on site in what, to be kind, we'll call a cottage. My sons and I lived there through the coldest Nova Scotia winter in 70 years, with no plumbing and no insulation. Over time, the roof developed a demonic system of leaks that were unstoppable. Melting snow around the uninsulated stovepipe created a deluge that required full-sized garbage cans, not merely cooking pots or dishpans, to prevent an indoor ice rink from forming on the cottage floor. Technically, there was no indoor plumbing, despite the ample supply of running water. Digging the well cover out of a snowdrift so that it was possible to chop a bucket-sized hole in the ice lost its appeal after day one, and the garbage can collection system soon became our water source of choice. It didn't take much figuring to realize that rainfall purposely directed into an appropriate storage tank could easily supply an average household, or so I thought. However, I still felt a little embarrassed explaining my requirements to the form builder who was preparing for the footings and basement to be poured. He didn't seem the least surprised. "So you want a cistern, lady? Years ago, all the old places had them." A cistern. It was the first time I'd heard the word, and it sounded so sweet to my ears. It validated what I feared might prove to be a crazy and unworkable scheme, one that I was hoping would help us avoid the potential hazards of depending on a shallow well that gathered only very poor quality water. The 18-foot by 10-foot by 5-foot cistern is built into one corner of the basement and holds 6,650 gallons of good, clean water. With typical rainfall, it tends to remain at least half full most of the time. Actually seeing and being able to gauge the availability and usage of water caused a subtle shift in perception and gave me a clearer insight into the effective management of resources. Step one along the permaculture path. I just didn't realize it at the time. The ground here is very poor, pretty much solid clay topped with an inch or two of highly acidic topsoil. It's enough to support stunted spruce growth, which isn't saying much as it is not unusual to see a ragged spruce anchored to the side of a rock face. In its natural state, the soil certainly wasn't up to nourishing my elusive dreams of growing vegetables. After a couple of dismally disappointing growing seasons, I embarked on some half-hearted and poorly informed attempts to build soil. Poorly informed? Well, for instance, I didn't understand that the stinking piles some gardeners raved about were not giant fly and vermin lures, but in fact represented one of the essentials my soil lacked: compost. It was a word I barely knew the meaning of, never mind its importance. Fortunately, I am within 100 feet of a constant supply of seaweed, one of the advantages of living along the seashore. The bags of leaves left curbside in the city also provided easy pickings, and over time, these organic additions began to work their wonders in my vegetable plot. I wasn't fully conversant with the term organic material. I just knew these freebies were in line with my very limited budget and the need to bulk up my soil. Did I consider myself to be an organic gardener back then? Absolutely not. I was just a low-income mom being ruled by necessity.